In light of growing concerns of reducing our carbon emissions and with petrol prices increasing, it's no wonder new methods of transport are gaining popularity. One big change is the use of e-scooters or bicycles, and since they're cleaner and efficient, they're gaining popularity. But how are they likely to impact transport systems in the long term? The Wire's contributor from RTRFM, Madeline Lombardi, asked research fellow at Griffith University's Cities Research Institute, Dr. Abraham Long, if it's true e-scooters appeared all of a sudden in our streets.
It's true across Australia, maybe not so in New South Wales because public use is not really legalised yet, but for Queensland or West Australia, we are definitely okay to use it on the public street.
What do you think the main reasons people might be embracing these new micromobility modes of transport are?
Just to recap from the last question, it started around maybe 2018-ish, and that time Brisbane was the first state to start this, allowed e-scooters to use to be as a shared mobility. Like shared means like you don't own it, you sort of for hire use. But unlike the previous one, it was like a dockless mode, and e-scooters, they've got a smaller footprint, so it's easier for them to be like shared on our streets. I guess. This is the reason why it's so popular, and also then like it gets catch on the private use market and then people owning them as well, yeah.
So they started over east, as you were saying, Brisbane sort of allowed them first, and I've definitely noticed them a lot more here in WA, especially around our cityscapes. You also mentioned that they were for rent at first, but now I want to know how much do most of these micromobility devices cost?
I also own one, actually, because I just want to, you know, try out. And the normal ones, like, they could cost around 1,000 or lower for those, entry models. So 1,000 is the average price. If you pay more, you get a really pumped-up model. But those are the ones that are more high-end, like, with good suspension, you know, those sort of longer range as well. So it's a lot cheaper than buying a car, I would say.
So they're marketed sort of for their environmental factor. So how environmentally efficient are they to run compared to conventional modes of transport?
Let's talk about the car, like compared to driving a car, of course it's going to be a lot less carbon footprint because, you know, like it weighs a lot less, like at most it just weigh maybe like 20 kilograms, but whereas a car would weigh a ton, so you're just dragging less, you know, metal. And also not to mention it also runs on electricity, electric batteries. It's definitely more efficient to run than, like a petrol-fueled car.
So, Abraham, the restrictions on these micromobility devices vary from state to state. What are the current restrictions at the moment? And why do some states like New South Wales, for example, and Victoria heavily restrict these devices?
Talking about those who allow it first, Queensland was, I believe, is the first one, and then the ACT followed suit. And then South Australia and Northern Territory, like Darwin, they allow them in as a shareable option. And then most recently, just like last year, December, West Australia and Tasmania also allowed them to be, you know, usable on public in a, you know, formal lease. And Victoria, New South Wales, Victoria now they got trials now, so I wouldn't say they are totally no-go, but it's only shareables. And for New South Wales, like for now, it's like they don't have any sharing schemes, and also it's not allowed to, you can use it on your own private land, but you can't use it on public. So that means it's only for like a recreational thing. I guess New South Wales is like, I don't really know why they sort of restrict them. Maybe they're concerned, like, you know, they might cause safety hazard, or maybe they just think the road space is not ready for it.
So how heavily are these micromobility devices monitored and policed? And will regulations need to be furthered as devices gain more popularity?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I guess, again, there are two markets. So the shareable market, for that one, the operators can, you know, govern the speed and also make sure they are parked at the right place. So I guess the shareables are not the main concern. I guess the more concern is the private ones in some sense. The private ones, like, the thing is, like, they don't really cause as much parking issue because, like, usually people use them, like, they ride it from home to work, so you won't really see them park publicly. With parking public, like, tends to be a bit, don't want to do that, but you could be just stolen, like a bicycle, same issue. And I think it's more concerns on the speed, like, because, you know, like, people might go too fast, and even though there's a cap on 25, but you go downhill, like, you could, you know, go faster than that. So I guess everyone just got to be mindful, just be considerate, you know, be safe, like, when you go in a junction.
So you own one yourself, Abraham. I think you just mentioned just there, how fast do they actually go? Did you say 25 kilometres an hour?
Yeah, 25 is the legal limit, but, you know, some people manage to unlock the vehicles. So that one, but this is not that legal, but again, the rules are murky. But again, if you go to over 25, your thing becomes like a motorcycle, and technically, you've got to have a license to drive it. So just like e-bike, even e-bikes, you can, you know, chip it, they call it. This is, some people do that, but it's not, I wouldn't condone that. I own e-bike as well. Like, you know, e-bikes are also, like, you're not supposed to go over 25 km per hour, yeah.
So, Abraham, how do you see these devices expanding in the future?
Wow, I think they will stay because, like, just like it's not just in Australia, like, we also see lots of them in Europe, European cities, in American cities, and also in Asia, it's also growing, like in Korea, in Malaysia, and also recently, yeah, some of the sharing business coming to Indonesia, and also, like, they're also, like, they seem to work well with, like, in dense environments, so I think they will stay.
That was research fellow at Griffith University Cities Research Institute, Dr. Abraham Leong, speaking with The Wire's Madeline Lombardi from RTRFM in Perth.